on your blog, you actually sort of the core of this you picked, not picked on, but you picked St. Louis, which is my home city. That's where I'm from. So, what did you notice about St. Louis that obviously has been going on for a long time now, but all these areas that want to become a city, they may want to take heed to.
So I picked on St. Louis in part because the area there has been in the news a lot lately, ever since we started to have these issues in Ferguson, which is a very small community in St. Louis County outside of St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And one of the issues, the sort of background that leads us to where Ferguson is today, is that the region, very similar to Atlanta, has carved itself up into dozens and dozens. There are 91 separate municipalities in St. Louis County. And the result of that is that every single one of them needs to have its own tiny police department, needs to pay for its own tiny police department, needs to find ways to make money in order to do that. And one of the things that they've done in St. Louis County, and this happens in a lot of places, is that in order to create revenue to pay for these tiny separate little governments, because we can't agree on sharing governments and sharing public services, is that, you know, we wind up fining people, creating mm-hmm. these little sort of petty fees, setting up traffic stops, trying to generate revenue through traffic tickets. And, you know, this isn't a sustainable way to fund government. And one of the questions that a lot of people have been asking since Ferguson came into the news several months ago is, you know, should we fundamentally be rethinking, you know, how we run government? Is it really necessary to have so many separate tiny governments in one region where really problems are communal?
And a lot of times you will hear from those coalitions that are sort of pushing for cityhood that will say, well, you know, we're not happy with what we're getting from the county that they may be in. And also there is the aspect of, are you trying to carve out your own little niche for a specific demographic or for everyone that's in a like-minded sort of class state here?
Yeah, I mean, I think most of the time when communities want to create their own municipality or want to sort of break off and become their own little thing, you know, that's motivated by sort of a defensiveness, by a feeling that we want to have more control. We don't want other people to tell us what to do. We don't want to share our resources with other people, or we don't want to sort of import problems from a community next door to us and have to deal with them. And I think it's totally understandable for a community to think that way, and sort of in the short term that may make sense. But the problem is that over the long run, you know, when everyone says, I want to have my own little thing, this creates a problem for the community as a whole, for the mm-hmm. region as a whole over the long run. I mean, what's best for one small community is not what's best for the entire region over the long run, because when you think about it, you know, metropolitan areas, their economies are regional, their problems are regional, their transit systems should be regional. And when we don't govern them that way, it makes it really hard to solve a lot of problems.
But Emily, there are some of the new cities here in metropolitan Atlanta have tried kind of, if you will, a middle approach to that efficiency question. And that is, they feel they're not getting some services from their county, but they're happy with others. So, for instance, they might remain in the school district, or they might keep their trash collection, but they'll get police and fire and some other services that they feel they weren't getting. In terms of economic efficiency and delivery of services, can that model work?
You know, that sounds a little bit to me sort of like cherry picking, like saying we would like to have the best of governing communally with our neighbors, but we don't want to have sort of any of the challenges of that. You know,
so
we'll take the things that are working
that,
well, but not the things that aren't.
Yeah, so what's wrong with that, though?
Well, so let's say we have, you know, two communities side by side that each have 1,000 people. Does it make more sense economically for them to each fund their own fire department and to each buy their own fire truck and to each pay for their own trash fleet, to each run their own school system? You know, or does it make more sense for them to share those resources, to say, you know what, I don't need a fire truck that's going to be sort of parked in the parking lot most of the time because we don't use it, when we could split our money, buy one together, and we could share it. And, you know, when we sort of expand out from that and think not just about these two communities, but a metropolitan region like Atlanta, which I think has 68 municipalities or so in it, you know, there are all kinds of really big problems, like how do we invest in the transit system? How do we make the transit system better? Who's going to pay for that? You know, could we perhaps get taxpayers to pay for that? It's extremely difficult to come up with the answer to that question when we have to get 68 different groups of people to agree on what the answer is going to be.
Well, and Emily, let's back up a little bit, because from what I understand, that with all these groups that are pushing for cityhood, they often go after they get a feasibility study, which should, I'm thinking, include the projections for how much revenue they need to obtain in order to take care of their own services. So, but are they getting, and they usually always here in Atlanta so far, they go to maybe it's only one or two entities that you can go to for that feasibility study. So I'm wondering if those feasibility studies are actually giving them the correct projections here, because then we hear, oh, now how are we going to fund this? Or where do we get that revenue fund? And then it goes back to what you started with, where they have all these little fines that are popping up everywhere. I mean, I'm sort of thinking that maybe they need to do their homework a little bit more in detail before saying, hey, we want to be a city.
Yeah, you know, one of the questions that I would raise too is, you know, what is the feasibility of this, not just tomorrow and next year and with the problems we're going to face next year, but 10, 20, 30 years down the road when the demographics of the community changes? You know, what happens if we think we can afford all of our own resources because this is a mostly middle-income community, but then over time, you know, lower-income families get priced out of Atlanta, they move into the suburbs, and now the income level of this community changes over time. I mean, one of the big problems here is that when we make these decisions to sort of draw these municipal boundaries and to divide up government, you know, that's a really difficult decision to undo. It's not completely permanent because it could be changed down the road, but it's making a very sort of definitive decision about something that you are not going to change, when in fact the reality is that cities change dramatically over time. Demographics change, sort of housing demand changes. There are all kinds of other factors that are going to go into flux that might ultimately mean that, you know, whatever you thought was feasible right now is not going to be feasible and sustainable in the future.
We got about 30 seconds left here, but you mentioned MARTA, Atlanta's mass transit system, and you talked about regional needs. Is it possible, though, that cities that felt like, okay, we want to resist it because we don't have a voice on their board, for instance, if they get that because they're now a city, might it actually work toward a regional solution in the end because they feel they have a stake in it?
So I think there are regional solutions if we have sort of governing bodies that then take all of these separate municipalities and give them a voice in the table, you know, in some type of overarching governing system. I mean, the only solution to what we're talking about isn't simply, you know, these cities need to combine and become larger. We could also think about creating, you know, types of governing bodies that they could all participate in that might make it a little bit easier to make some of these collective decisions.
And Emily, also another key part of this are businesses, because if you carve out your little city and you don't have businesses there to sustain and give your resources for what your residents need, that's another issue as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, fundamentally, at the end of the day, it's just not it's not the best thing for a region's economic growth to divide up cities this way. And, you know, the more we do that, the more we harm them economically.